other currencies, not so green with envy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The dollar fell on foreign exchange markets this morning. Traders were reacting to reports of secret talks to dump the greenback as the main currency for trading oil. Britain's independent newspaper carried that story. It claims that some Arab states, along with China and Russia, are planning moves that could eventually end the dominance of the dollar. More from our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London.
The Independent claims that countries including Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, China, Russia, Japan, and France are secretly planning to sever the link between oil and the dollar. The newspaper says they want to price oil in a basket of currencies, including the euro and the Chinese yuan. The move would apparently take 9 years to complete. The Saudis and the Russians have denied the story, but currency strategist Steve Barrow says the market is taking the report seriously. He says the oil producers have every reason to move away from the dollar.
I don't think it's surprising that countries in the Gulf, for instance, might be concerned that the dollar is weak and that doesn't help the value of their oil exports if the dollar continues to fall.
And he says we already know that China and Russia are not happy about holding most of their reserves in depreciating dollars. Many central banks have already started gradually reducing the size of their dollar reserves. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Some buying on the minds of investors today. Markets are up in Europe about 1.5% or more. In Asia, shares closed higher, the Hang Seng by nearly 2%. A good service sector economic report helped spark a little something-something on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P was up 1.5%, NASDAQ about 1%, and the Dow shot up 112 points to close at 95.99. Well, Congress may be trying to stimulate some housing sales by extending the $8,000 tax credit for first-time homebuyers. But there is good news for apartment renters. Vacancies are high and rents are dropping. Let's check in with Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale, who's with us live this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what do these latest statistics show?
That apartment vacancies are at their highest level in 23 years and that all that availability is driving down the cost of renting. These are numbers from the real estate firm Reis, which tracks the apartment market every quarter. And the Wall Street Journal got an early look at the figures for the third quarter of this year. And apartment vacancies, which have been rising all year long, hit 7.8% in the third quarter.
So why are so many apartments, John, going empty?
Well, high unemployment, of course, is forcing more people to double up in fewer apartments or even to move back in with their parents. This recession has been particularly hard on workers under 35, and that's just the group most likely to rent. This is also a hangover from the real estate boom, where developers overbuilt. So now there's a surplus of apartment buildings, and it's pretty much across the country. The highest vacancies are in places like Omaha, Memphis, and Indianapolis.
Now, this has got to be, John, good news for renters. I mean, are their monthly housing costs going down?
Yes. Rents did decline during the third quarter, and that might attract more people who otherwise would consider buying a home but are concerned about the cost. And that could be a ray of hope for apartment building owners who are stuck with empty space. On the other hand, a lot of condo builders who were hoping to sell their properties are now switching to rentals, and that's creating an even bigger glut of available apartments.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joining us from Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
It's not looking like the holidays will lift the spirits of retailers. The sales outlook remains lackluster at best. The National Retail Federation predicts a 1% drop in total sales for November and December combined. Apple has left the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The computer giant says it should be, it being the chamber, should be more progressive on climate change. The chamber's pushed for public hearings to challenge the scientific evidence of man-made climate change. And just in the last couple of weeks, it's gotten the cold shoulder from other members that have left: Exelon, PG&E, and PNM Resources.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
There's a congressional hearing this morning to see how small business stimulus is working. The $730 million allocated was part of a bigger stimulus package and was designed to help spark bank lending. From the entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
After small business lending ground to a halt with the financial crisis, SBA used stimulus money to increase loan guarantees and reduce banking fees. Analyst Bob Coleman says it's worked to a degree.
We're up 50% since the stimulus was passed in February.
The problem is that hasn't been enough to restore lending to pre-recession levels. Right now, SBA loans are running 35% behind what they were this time last year. Coleman says Congress hasn't put enough into small business lending.
$730 million is a drop in the bucket. Entrepreneurs simply don't have access to the capital that they had at this time last year.
Amy Graves is one of the lucky ones.
We borrowed $340,000. We got an excellent interest rate. It was prime plus 2%.
Graves and her business partner, Jennifer Morrow, recently got an SBA loan for a new veterinary lab in Kentucky. They just tallied their revenues for the first month.
And we're running at about a third of what we need to be running at right now. Yeah, we don't sleep as well as we used to, that's for sure.
Soon, other business owners might not be sleeping well either. Without more funding, SBA loan programs could run dry by December. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Finally, a warning for overweight bus drivers in the UK. Slim down or lose your place in the driver's seat. The bus company Stagecoach has sent letters to staff saying those who weigh more than 322 pounds won't be allowed to drive the buses. The adjustable seats could collapse. A spokesman at the company says it'll help its heavier employees with lifestyle changes if necessary. Union officials are asking for subsidized gym memberships and healthier food options at work. The weight limit, by the way, only applies to the driver. Passengers can weigh as much as they want. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.